Good to see y'all tonight. Coming out for the midweek boost in the middle of the week. Praise God. Let's just pray before we get into our message. Father, we just take delight in you. It's a delight for us to know you. What a privilege that we actually can fellowship with you, you who are God, you who are the Creator, but yet you who are our very own Father. Thank you for that. What a privilege. Hallelujah. And Father, I know that not only are you a God who loves us, but you're a God who wants to reveal yourself to us. And you want to manifest yourself even among us. And tonight we just look to you. That it doesn't have to be a special occasion. It doesn't have to be a specially orchestrated night or a specially orchestrated time in our lives. You just want to live among us, and you want to manifest yourself to each of us and bring your peace and your goodness alive within us, and that we would experience it and know it for ourselves and live in that. For the kingdom of God is righteousness, having right relationship with you, knowing that you approve of us and that you love us. It's righteousness, it's peace, having an absence of all that struggle that would be within us, as well as wholeness, and it's joy. And tonight, Father, we just are thankful that we have righteousness through Christ Jesus, that we have peace with you through what Jesus has done, and he's made us whole, and that we have joy tonight. Joy tonight. That you didn't just leave us here in this world without comfort, but in fact, you've comforted us, and you've given us joy tonight. And we thank you for that. And Father, as we turn our attention to your word and to what you've given us here tonight, I thank you, Father, that you are here with us, that you're teaching all of us from the inside, that we're not dependent on any one person to teach us. We're not dependent on any man. We're not looking to people to teach us, because the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher himself, indwells each of us. And we just open ourselves up to you, Holy Spirit, to teach us, to train us, to tutor us tonight, to help us each individually wherever we are, to help us to learn and to grow and to increase in our knowledge and understanding. We thank you for doing that tonight, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, like I said, it is good to see you. It's been a couple of weeks, I guess, since I was here on a Wednesday night sharing with you. But that's okay. I've done it before, and I think I know how. Lo, these many years. We've been talking about seeking him, and so we put it on our bulletin and put it on the board out there, and we put it up here, seeking him. And tonight I'm going to talk about an aspect of seeking God that in some ways is very simple. And some of the things I'm going to share with you, you might think are pretty simple. But on the other hand, I've found in my life that some of the most simple things are actually the most profound things. And it's simple things oftentimes that I found people kind of disdain. It's just like in our School for Life. Everybody that comes to Goodness Church who becomes a member goes through School for Life. Well, and particularly they go through Abundant Life when we have Abundant Life classes. And everybody starts in Abundant Life classes. And sometimes we have people, they come to our Abundant Life classes and they say, well, I don't need these classes. I already know this. You ever had anybody say that to you, Nate? And I taught Abundant Life for many years, and I had many people tell me that. Eddie, did you teach Abundant Life for a lot of years? And people would tell us that. But it was always so funny to me, because I actually wrote most of the Abundant Life classes, and I had taught them. I probably taught them more than anybody. But yet I always got something out of them when I was teaching the classes. So I'm sitting there thinking, really, you know it all? And I've been through these. I could quote you a lot of these outlines, you know. But I'm getting something out of it. And it's there are just some things that are basic truths that we need, but it's interesting how with the word there's always another dimension. It's just like God. I've heard people say, you know, can't verify this, but I've heard people say, they talk about the throne room of God, and you know, the Bible talks about how there are angels there that are encircling the throne of God, and they're crying out, holy, 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 it's the Lord God Almighty. And as they go around, you know, as they're there with him, it's not just that they're chanting that, but the reality is that every time they behold him, every time they see him, they see another aspect. I knew there was a spect word in there somewhere. Spect. To see. Okay, another aspect of his glory or his goodness or of him that they see, and it just causes them to rejoice afresh and anew. And I really believe that. I really believe that in the Bible says that in the ages to come, which we've already started in those ages, that He's going to show us the exceeding, you know, greatness, the exceeding kindness, His exceeding grace. He's going to show us for the ages to come. And I think that we've barely seen anything about how great God is and His goodness and who He is, or even understanding His Word and the fullness of what He wants to show us through the Word. There's more to see. You know, I've been a believer for more than 40 years. I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit for more than 40 years, and I'm still learning all the time. And if you're not learning all the time, I think something's wrong. I think you need to make an adjustment. You know, I think I heard one pastor friend of ours one time told us, he said, you know, if your testimony is more than 2 weeks old, something's wrong. You know, some people, they share with you what happened, you know, 40 years ago, and you're like, well, that's nice. I rejoice, but what's the Lord doing in your life today? What's He teaching you, and how are you growing? And that's something that, I don't know, that's something I really treasure about God, is He's not just, you know, the God that did save me. He's the God who is saving me, and He's the God who is, you know, teaching me. He's not just the God that did reveal Himself. He's the God who continues to reveal Himself and manifest Himself. And so I really appreciate that about God, don't you? But tonight I just want to talk about seeking God and something that seems, again, like I said, something that seems pretty simple. But I want to talk about prayer tonight. How many of you know anything about prayer? I hope you know something about it. And I know some things about prayer. I'm going to share some of those things tonight. And I'm learning more about prayer all the time. And as Matt said, laughingly, we're really pushing prayer right now. That was funny. But you do. There are opportunities to pray. We pray on Thursday nights at 6. If you can come, fine. A number of you have been. We've had a lot of people. Not everybody comes every Thursday night, but we've had a whole lot of you have been on Thursday nights. And Olivia's coming tomorrow night, she told me. but I know sometimes you have schedules or you have other things that interfere. I understand that. But we're here to pray because Matt and I realized that Nate needed to pray. So we... Just teasing. No, we just said we were going to pray in the evening, a time where people can come. You know, instead of having a daytime prayer for years, we had prayer at noon, and only a few people could come because the people were working. And so we said we'll have it in the evening, and at 6, maybe you can come on your way home or, you know, before you get settled in. Once you get home and let the garage door down, it's hard for us to get you out here again. And I understand, I'd be the same way. Once I get home, I put on my pajamas, and then it's really hard to go anywhere. Is that right? So that's why we did it at 6. But then also on Sunday mornings, at the time where we normally have School for Life, we've been having prayer. And this past Sunday morning, I don't know, I just had a really great time in prayer. And the Sunday morning before, too. The Sunday morning before, I was just practically drunk by the time we finished. I had a great time. I enjoy prayer. Some people think of prayer as drudgery, but the prayer is not drudgery. Prayer can be really fun. Some of the best times I've had at church were during times of prayer. And if you don't understand that prayer can be fun and exhilarating and you know, and all of those joyful and, you know, all these things can happen in prayer, I don't think you really understand what prayer is really about. But I just want to talk a little bit about some things that I've learned in praying. And, you know, how are we going to seek Him if we don't spend time with Him? That's what prayer is. It's fellowship. It's spending time with God. It's talking to Him. Him talking to you. It's letting Him, you know, work in you and work on you. It's and when we come together in prayer, we're inviting Him to talk to all of us and for us to pray together. And there's something that happens when we pray together that doesn't happen when we pray by ourselves. I mean, I pray by myself all the time, but there's something very interesting that happens when we come together. It's like we spark each other. Even if we're not praying about the same thing, there's something about just coming together and praying, and we can spark each other. But here are some things that I've learned over the years of how to pray and what to pray, and I'm just going to offer these to you tonight, and I encourage you to think about this and to learn more about it and to actually apply some of these principles, because these are the things that if you come and join us for corporate prayer, these are the very things that we're doing here. And the first thing that I've learned about prayer is this, that you want to go to God on the basis of His Word. So prayer always starts with knowing the Word, having the Word, praying the Word. That's where prayer always starts. And when we pray corporately, we always have something, you know, from the Scripture that we share. It may be something particularly about prayer, or it may be something else. A couple of weeks ago, I shared from Psalm 103. We read Psalm 103. Just because that, I mean, that can kickstart anything. You know, it'll just kickstart anything. That's when you get to talking about blessing the Lord, oh my soul, and then you get down to don't forget his benefits, and you get all the way through there, and you're getting satisfied with long life. And I mean, there's a lot of good stuff going on there in Psalm 103. By the time you get through with that, you've got the prayer rejoicing going on, if nothing else, you know. But coming to God on the basis of his Word, that's the very first thing. Because the Word is God talking to us. And it's through his Word that he first and foremost reveals himself to us. And his Word, if you don't understand his Word, you're not gonna, you know, understand him very much. We don't just make up God, and God isn't, contrary to what the world thinks, God isn't just what you envision. God isn't just what you imagine him to be. God actually has, you know, revealed himself. He has written down through his Word who he is. And we can know him by knowing his Word. And so I always go to God on the basis of his Word. And so if I was going to pray, you know, whenever I do pray, whether I have the Bible there with me or not, I always base my prayers on the Word. Now, if I was going to come, you know, if I was going to spend an extended time in prayer, I'd always have my Bible or something that has the Scripture nearby or with me, because I would start with the Word. His Word is his will, and the Bible tells us that we have to know God's will in order to pray according to his will. We have to have some idea of what his will is, because it's prayers that are prayed in agreement with his will that he hears, according to 1 John. And I want God to hear me when I pray. A lot of people don't understand that. God hears prayers that are prayed in, you know, that agree with his will, that are according to his Word. And then we know, 1 John chapter, how many of y'all have heard this verse? 1 John chapter 5, 14 and 15, it says this. It says, you know, if you pray according to his will, then we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. So that's just so primary in prayer, is praying the Word. But, you know, it startles me sometimes how few people really understand that concept. A lot of people, they start from prayer. Their prayers are based on, instead of basing prayers on what the Word says, they base prayers on what they want or what they need. The Bible never tells us to base our prayers on what we want or what we need. We're to base our prayers on the Word. So many of us tonight, we could share our own needs, and we could share needs of other people that we know. We could share things we want. But we don't start our prayers or base our prayers or spend all of our, you know, we don't come to God just on the basis of our needs or our wants. We come to God based on his Word or what he said about our needs or our wants. And that's a lot of times in my life I've heard people pray, and they're not Word-based prayers. But I have a great confidence when I pray, because I pray based on the Word. And I just have confidence that if I'm praying God's Word, if I'm basing what I'm saying to him on his Word, that he's hearing me and that he's answering me. It's really easy for me to imagine that God's answering a prayer that I'm praying according to his Word. So that's it. Now, I was thinking about this recently. You know, kids are born. It's funny, kids that are born in China, do you know what they speak? They speak Chinese. And kids that are born, you know, in Nigeria, what do they speak? Speak what?
Three languages.
From when they're little. They learn them at home? Yeah. So here you are when you're born, you learn to speak what those that are around you speak. Every child is capable of speaking Chinese. Not every one of us are, but every child is. And every child is capable of speaking English, you know, they can speak, every child, because they learn what's around them. Well, in that same way, many of us learn to talk to God based on what we've grown up in. And we grow up in church, or we grow up with mama, or whatever, wherever you are. It's so interesting, whenever somebody comes, they're born again into the kingdom, whatever environment that they're around, they pick up the language of the people that they're around. And one of the ways that really comes out is in our prayers. And so people learn to pray things just by hearing what other people pray. They come to church and they hear pastor pray, and when he's praying, then that's what they do when they pray. It's interesting how we learn spiritual things. We learn them from other people in the same way that we learn natural things from other people. So I'm just telling you this. Whatever you learned, whatever prayer language, so to speak, you speak, whatever you learn, we need to all go and examine it in light of the Word and say, are we praying according to the Word, or are we just praying according to Grandma's preacher? Are we praying, you know, things that are from the Scripture? Because the Word, it tells us God's will. And then here's another little note I'll just make about that before we go on. His Word is legally binding. God's Word, it's a covenant, which is a stronger word than a contract. God's Word is not just a contract. It's not a legal contract. It's a covenant. It's been cut on the blood of Jesus. It's based on, and the blood of Jesus is what has sealed it. And so His Word is legally binding. So it's not something that you're hoping so or something that you wish would happen. When you have God's Word on it, the Bible says that His promises that He's made to us are yes and amen, meaning we already have His Word on it. His Word was yes. If He said He would do it, it's done. It's amen. So be it. So it's legally binding. So when we're praying, we are praying from a position of authority when we pray from the Word. When we pray based on something that He said in the Word and promised us or instructed us in the Word, when we pray based on that, we are praying from a position of authority, and we have legal precedent to expect God to respond. And so that gives you a strength in your prayers, because I think a lot of people, their prayers, when they pray, there's just a lot of hope. So I discuss this, I think, every week in here, that it seems like, and the reason why is because there's so much ignorance. There is so much ignorance. If you don't believe me, go tomorrow to work or wherever you go and find a group of 5 Christians and pray with them. Now, most people won't pray out loud in front of you. I've noticed that. It freaks people out if you ask them to pray in front. Like right now, if I called on one of you to pray, it'd probably freak you out. Brenda? No, I'm just teasing. Brenda'd be fine, but people just being put on the spot like that. But you get people in a group and you have them pray, you find out what kind of spiritual language that they speak. And you'd see there'd be a whole lot of stuff that would come out. It'd give you a lot of insight into what they know and what they base their prayers on. It is. It's really interesting and a lot of prayers are weak. Why are they weak? Because they're not based on the Word. The Word is what gives us strength. The Word is what gives the strength to your prayers. Not your eloquence, not your big words, certainly not your use of the King James English. But the strength of your prayer is in the Word, because the Word is what is God's legal, you know, His legal vow to you is His Word. So it's really important that you have the Word and base your prayers on the Word and pray the Word. I mean, that's all. Y'all ever heard us say this before? Maybe once or twice or 10,000 times? But now here's the deal. If I have a specific need, many times when I pray, I don't have a specific need. But if there's something that's on my heart, if I'm facing a challenge, if there's something that's bothering me, whatever it might be, if there's something I've heard, do you know what I do? I find out what the Bible says about that particular thing. Now, I know a lot about what the Bible says. And so do you. So you already know a lot of things the Bible says. So if there's a situation or something going on, and oftentimes the biggest need we have in our lives is that we need wisdom. What is wisdom? Well, it's what God would do if He was going to do something. What God would have you to do. And so it's just as simple as James chapter 1. What does James chapter 1 say? Yes, if you lack wisdom, and we all lack wisdom every day, then we can ask of God for that wisdom, and then He'll give it to us. So that's what I mean when, there we go. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So that's what I mean when I say, base your prayers on the Word, go to the Word, find the Scripture. If I lack wisdom, so I'll just say when I'm praying, I'll say this, I'll say, Father, you said if I lack wisdom or if I don't know what to do, I think it's the New Living Translation says if you want to know what it is God wants you to do, you should ask him. And so if I lack wisdom, I'll do this. I do this all the time. Father, you said you would give me wisdom if I would ask, and I'm asking you for wisdom. It's just that simple. I mean, it's not some, you know, really complicated thing. It's just you said. But see, when I say that, you know what I'm doing? I'm invoking my covenant, the contract that he's written to me. I'm taking advantage of it. I'm saying, you told me you would give it to me, so I'm asking you for it. Now, I do that with whatever it is that I need, because I can tell you this, there's a scripture for whatever we need. There are promises, you could call them. There are guarantees. We have God's word on many, every subject. So whatever it might be, I ask him, and I'll tell him, I'll remind him and me of what his word says. This, I don't know about you, but something about that, if I just say, if I have this in front of me and I say, you said in your word, doesn't that sound powerful? Think about that. Isn't that better than, Lord, help me? You said in your word that if I lacked wisdom, I could ask of you, that I should ask of you, and that you would give it to me, because I'm part of the all, and you give it to me liberally. That means you're not just stingy with it. You're giving me a whole bunch. You're giving me at least as much as I need and probably running it over and without reproach, which means you're not sitting there smirking because I needed wisdom. You're not making fun of me. And you said, if I would ask, you'd give it to me. Now, this is just really powerful. And you can do that about, like I said, any subject, anything. Find what God said about it and ask him for it based on his word. It's really simple, but I'm telling you, it's quite profound. And it's a shock to me how few people actually do that. But that's what I do when I pray, is I remind me and God of what the Bible says. Because that's where he's made his promise to me. It's right there. Y'all see this? Told you I was really going to be deep in here tonight. So whatever it is. Now, here's something else. So that's just as cut and dry as I can make it. Just right there. But there are other things in the scripture that he tells us to pray for, things that we don't necessarily need, but things that he wants us to pray for. Because what does it say in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4? What does it tell us to pray for? It says to pray for all men, kings, and all who are in authority. And it goes on, well, when he gets down to verse 4, it says, because God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So we're to pray. So he tells us there to pray for people in authority. And he tells us, so there's a responsibility I have for that. That may not be in my realm of what I need today, but it might. God knows why I need to pray for that. Pray for people who are in authority, people who are in natural authority, people who are in spiritual authority. Lord, we all need to be praying for people who are in authority. In this nation, my goodness, we need to pray for people who are in authority. And we need to pray for all men, the Bible says. But then, as we've heard from Pastor Matt many, many times, Jesus said that we should pray to the Lord of the harvest to send laborers in the harvest field. So that's something else. These are all things that when we're praying according to the word, these are things that we would pray. So, you know, when you pray, there's more to pray for than just what it is you want or need or what you're worried about, even though you should pray about those things. Now, here's something I found in my life, and again, you know, you probably think I just talk about this all the time. It's because I do this all the time. That's the reason I talk about it all the time. I haven't found anything better. When I find something better, I'll let you know. But until then, this is a really good piece of advice. Use the prayers that Paul prayed as examples of how to pray for yourself and others. Now, see, just when I get tired of these and I figure, hey, you know, we can move on to something else, then I see something different about these and I think, my goodness, he pretty much covered it. And if we would just have this, you know what Paul prayed, if we just, those prayers that Paul prayed, I'll tell you what they are here in just a second, I'll give you the references on them. But if we just had if we had these as a living reality, we wouldn't really need much else. We wouldn't really need many more prayers. I'm gonna read one on Paul's prayer in Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to read it in the Amplified. Now, again, this shocks me, too, how few Christians even know that Paul prayed prayers or even, you know, have ever thought maybe I should pattern my prayers after that. I believe there's a reason that Paul wrote in these letters what he was praying for these people. And I believe that they were given as an example to us of how we should pray for believers, including ourselves. And these are powerful prayers. And these are prayers that as you read through them, you'll say, my goodness, these are prayers that would really make a huge difference in us, help us to grow, help us to really walk in what God has for us. My goodness. Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to read that one. And we're reading the Amplified just because it just blows it all up, you know. Colossians 1 verse 9 says, for this reason we also, from the day we heard of it, have not ceased to pray and make special requests for you, asking, now listen to this, asking that you may be filled with the full, deep, and clear knowledge of His will. How about that? Just that one thing. Just praying that we would all be filled with the knowledge of His will. Just that. Just the people in this room tonight. If every one of us had the full and clear and deep knowledge of God's will. Well, just think how that would be for us. How would we be if we all had just a really good, clear picture of God's will for us? Wouldn't you love that? How about for your kids? Think about it. What about for your kids? I mean, you want to know how to pray for your kids? This right here. This is a great verse to pray for your kids. It's a great prayer. How about your spouse? You know, the person that really bugs you all the time? Really gives you, like, pray for them. This is a great prayer to pray for your spouse. This is a great prayer for you to pray for your boss. This is a great prayer for you to pray for your pastors. And that's just one little line of one of his prayers. But the depth of that we would be filled with the full, he said for you, be filled with the full, deep, and clear knowledge of his will. And we haven't even gotten to this prepositional phrase, in all spiritual wisdom, in comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God, and in understanding and discernment of spiritual things. My goodness. Boy, wouldn't it be a lot easier to pastor Good News Church if everybody had the complete manifestation of that? Well, we'd be a whole lot better pastors, for that matter. Just think of this. So these are just little things, it seems, but they're profound. That you may walk and live and conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the Lord. Fully pleasing to Him. How about that? If every one of us were fully pleasing to God. Isn't that good? And desiring to please Him in all things. He prayed that these people would desire to please God. That's a good thing to pray for your kids. That they desire to please God. That they desire the things of God. Pray for their desire. Pray that for yourself. Woo! To please Him in all things. Look at this. Bearing fruit in every good work. And steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of God. With fuller, deeper, and clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition. Y'all see why I can't get away from these? It's so rich. Every little thing, I could just stop and dwell on it and feed on it. Because the manifestation of the fullness of this, my goodness, that's transformation. It goes on to say, verse 11, we pray that you may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of His glory to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance and forbearance with joy. Isn't that good? Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people and the light. Now that's just three verses. That's just three verses from Colossians. And you could pray that from now on and never pray anything else and never exhaust it. You see what I'm saying? This is what I'm talking about praying from the Word. But use these prayers of Paul that he prayed. This one in Colossians, and then I'll give you the references on the other if you want to write them down. The other one, and I know some of you know these as well as me, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 19. Ephesians chapter 3. So Ephesians 1, 15 through 19. Ephesians 3, 14 through 20. And then Philippians 1, verses 9 through 11. And we just prayed Colossians 1, 9 through 12. And then Philippians 1, 9 through 11. And then I'll give you two more because those are just the major ones. Then his writings, there's more. Here's one in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. And then 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. And then there's references to it in Galatians. I'm not going to go through all of them, but just read Paul's writings and you'll see there are such rich prayers that you could pray. So use those. If you don't know how to pray, if you don't know how to pray for your loved ones, you don't know how to pray for your family, your friends, you don't know how to pray for yourself, start here. Start here. And actually do it, guys. Do it. Do it. Pray these prayers for yourself. Okay. Told you. This is really simple here. Now, the next thing. So far, what I've told you is go to God on the basis of His Word. Secondly, use Paul's prayers as examples of how to pray for yourself and others. And now here's the third thing. The Holy Spirit is our helper. He's our guide. He's our spiritual tutor. I found that people are looking for what I call a spiritual guru. They're looking for a spiritual guru. It's almost like, you know, Gary, sometimes people want you to be their spiritual guru. They don't say it that way, but, you know, they're really, that's what they're wanting. They're wanting a spiritual guru. Do you know that all of us who are born again have a spiritual guru already? He's living inside of us. I'm so thankful the Holy Spirit's living in me. I'm so thankful that I don't have to depend on somebody else to feed me spiritually, to guide me spiritually, to train me and teach me. The Holy Spirit Himself is in me, teaching me. Thank God that He has other people in our lives to help us. He has His pastors that are shepherds that feed you. He has other ministry gifts that come on. We had Jeremy Gall here on Sunday. And Jeremy's an evangelist, and boy, his message really encouraged me, and there were a lot of good things I got from that. Thank God for it. But ultimately, it's the Holy Spirit who is the teacher. If He hadn't been teaching me on Sunday morning, doesn't matter what Gary, where did I get that word? Oh, from you. It doesn't matter what Jeremy would have said. If the Holy Spirit wasn't teaching me, that wouldn't have made any sense anyway. The Holy Spirit was teaching me. And the Holy Spirit, He's in me. He doesn't just teach me. He is my spiritual guru. He's my tutor. He's my helper, and He helps me when I pray. And that's some of the best help He ever gives me, is how He helps me when I pray. Does the Holy Spirit help you when you pray? Do you know that when you pray, you don't just have to pray out of your head and pray what you know and pray based on what the report is and pray, you know, or even just pray according to what scriptures you know? The Holy Spirit who's in you, the Bible tells us one of the reasons He's there. In fact, we'll read it. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read that in the, I'll just read it in the Amplified. Just go to the Amplified, young man. Verse 26 of Romans chapter 8. It says, "So too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness, for we do not know what prayer to offer." Even all of us who think we're so, you know, learned in the scripture and so experienced in prayer, even us, none of us, we don't really know what prayer to offer. We know what the Word says, and we can pray based on that. But that runs out pretty quick, doesn't it? And so we don't really know how to pray as we should, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit Himself goes to meet our supplication. That's a prayer word, supplication. You're praying for, really, supply, and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. For He who searches the hearts of men knows what the mind of the Holy Spirit and what His intent is, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints according to and in harmony with God's will. In other words, you come up short, but the Holy Spirit, He comes in with you and He makes up the difference. He shows you what to pray as you want, and He even gives you words as you pray in the Holy Spirit, pray in other tongues. He gives you words to pray God's perfect will that you don't know in yourself. He gives you the ability to pray God's perfect will. And so, thank God for that. He's our helper. And then over in Ephesians, so that's the Holy Spirit's your helper. And then the next thing is when you pray, pray being led by the Holy Spirit. Over in Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about putting on the whole armor of God, and I'm not going to take time to go through all that. But one of the things that it says is in verse 18, it says, praying always. This is Ephesians 6:18, praying always. So one reason I bring this up tonight is you should pray more. I mean, because I know it's Wednesday night, and I have all the really spiritually mature people are the ones that come on Wednesday nights, right? Y'all already have your gold stars. You're working on some other paraphernalia, spiritual award paraphernalia. But, you know, he said to pray always. And it's so interesting to me how often we don't do what we know to do. But we think we did do it because we know to do it, so we assume we did it, but we really didn't. So we aren't getting the result that we hoped to get because we didn't really do what we thought we did do that we didn't do, but we thought we did because we knew to do it, but we didn't do it. No, that all worked. If you listen to it, it all did work. But it's true. We think we did it because we knew to do it. But just because you know to do it doesn't mean you did it. But it's in the doing of it that you get the results. Yeah. And so you want to do it. You want to do what it is you know to do so you can get the results that you know you'll get if you do what you know to do. Instead of just thinking you did what you knew to do, but you didn't. This is kind of prophetic up here, actually. All right. There's a lesson there. He said, praying always. So it would benefit you to pray more. Is God going to love you more? No. What? No, he's not going to love you more. But it sure would benefit you to pray more. And it would benefit the people around you if you prayed more. It would. It would benefit everybody. It'd benefit the church. It'd benefit God's plans for you to pray more. Praying always. With all prayer and supplication. So if you come to Abundant Life, you learn there's all kinds of different prayers. It's one of my favorite classes because there's guidelines. There are things the scripture says, there's principles about different kinds of prayers. Not every prayer, you know, is prayed the same way. And so you can come to Abundant Life or go online and listen to it there. You can learn about some of the things that, you know, principles governing prayer. But there are different kinds of prayers, but we should pray always and use every kind of prayer that's available, including supplication. And then he goes on to say, in the Spirit. Now, I know that he's not talking about here just praying in other tongues, because praying in other tongues is a way to pray, but you can't pray every prayer in other tongues. Because if you know anything, if you've been and heard Pastor Nate or Eddie or me or probably even Matt taught it at some point, if you've heard us teach that or you know anything about prayer, you understand that some prayers you have to pray in English. You don't just pray everything in other tongues. So I know there's something more than this, but In the Greek, the rendering of this should be praying always with all prayer and supplication, being led by the Spirit. Letting the Holy Spirit lead you as you pray. And I'm telling you, this is really beneficial when you learn to pray being led by the Holy Spirit. See, you know, I have to tell you, I'm pretty smart. Yeah, no, I am, Gary. You have no idea. I mean, really. And I know a lot of stuff. And not only that, I'm pretty insightful. So I'm really smart, I know a lot of stuff, and I'm pretty insightful. So really, when it comes to prayer, I should just, you know, I just pray, I know what to do, and I just pray, and I got it covered. And the reality is, I'm pretty pathetic. I do know some scriptures, I can pray based on them, but very rarely, you know, do I feel super confident in just something that I pray based on what my own knowledge is. And that's why I'm so thankful I have the Holy Spirit leading me as I pray. See, here's the thing. Even if you are really Johnny on the spot and got it all covered, you only know just a little bitty piece. Your knowledge is so limited. But the Holy Spirit, his knowledge isn't limited. So when he leads you to pray, how many times have I prayed? And I was praying about this, And the Holy Spirit led me to pray, and I went over here and prayed about something that seemed almost unrelated. And then later on, I learned it was exactly what needed to be prayed, because I had such limited knowledge. But the Holy Spirit could lead me to pray based on His knowledge. What a benefit. So pray not just what you know to pray, but let Him lead you. Let Him lead you when you pray. And He will lead you in awesome ways. And He'll lead you to pray things. Oh my goodness. That's when it really gets exciting, you guys. When you start praying, being led by the Holy Spirit, oh, it's exciting. It's just awesome. Praise God. It's wonderful. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And then it goes on to say, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. The Amplify says to keep alert. And this is really interesting, because we come in here on Thursdays and we pray. And a lot of times if I'm leading, I'll sit up here like this, which after an hour gets kind of rough on the sit bones. But anyway, and you sit here, you know, and you pray. And people are out there, they're praying. So I'm up here, I'm praying, you know. And I'm praying when we start, we have some general direction. We may stay on what we started with, you know, 30 seconds. We may stay on it for 10 minutes. I don't know. It just depends on how the Holy Spirit leads. And then as I pray, the Holy Spirit begins to lead me. And I always end up praying about things I never even knew I would pray about. I don't even really give much thought before I get here to what I'm going to pray about, because I'm trusting in Him to lead me. I don't have to make a mental list. I don't have to sit down and, you know, get prayer requests from everybody. I don't have to do any of that, because, see, the Holy Spirit, I'm trusting Him to lead me. And He's leading me and guiding me. So I'll just begin to pray, and I'll pray what I know according to the Word. And then I'll pray, like I just talked about, I'll let the Holy Spirit pray through me. So I'll pray in other tongues. And then I'll begin to pray again in English, maybe. You can pray in English, being led by the Holy Spirit. And then pray in other tongues for a bit, maybe. Sometimes I'll pray a long time in other tongues. Sometimes I'll pray a long time in English. Sometimes I get stuck on one thing. It just seems like I can't get away from it. And I have to be honest, if I stopped and listened to myself, I would think, boy, you sound really stupid. Why would you just keep saying that over and over? But for whatever reason, there's like an unction on it or something about it that's just being drawn up out of me. And you actually can have things drawn up out of you. And that's what you're looking for. You're looking for something to come up out of you, not something to come out of here. I don't want to pray from here. Now, do I start praying from here? Yeah, probably a lot of times I start praying from here. But I'm trying to get out of here and get in here, because this is where the Spirit of God is in me. He lives in my spirit. My spirit's down here. My spirit's not right up here. And so I'm trying to get unhooked from here and down into here. But now here's something you have to learn. And I really think it's like a practice or a spiritual discipline or something you grow in. It's kind of a process of learning how to quiet your mind. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, you can have a really active mind, and your mind's thinking about this, what's going on. It's thinking about the situation, the circumstances. It's thinking about the problems or whatever. Or your mind is just distracted. I mean, it's just like we sit in service, and people are really distracted. You know, it would be hard for some of y'all to stand up here and preach, because you would be so angry about what people are doing. I mean, it took several years for us to get past that, didn't it? Matt used to get really hot.
Those days are gone.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. But, you know, here you are, and people just are distracted in general. But then they're distracted while they're driving, they're distracted while they're in church, and they're distracted while they're praying. But you come and you have to engage. You have to, like, the Bible says we're to set our mind on things that are above. The Bible says that we are to incline our ears to His sayings, that we are to attend to His word. Well, does that mean to put our attention on the written word? Yeah, but it also means to put our attention on the word He may be saying to me right now. So you have to learn to do this. You have to learn to quiet your mind and focus on what's in here. And it, again, depending on what's going on in your life, sometimes it's easier to do it than other times. That's why the Bible talks about getting peace and being at peace. It's very difficult when there's this war raging in your head for you to pray from your heart or pray from by the Spirit. But that's where you want to get to. But once you get hooked up down here and you start praying on your spirit, you'll just start praying all kinds of things. And again, you may just pray in the Holy Spirit for a long time. You may pray in English. You may find yourself praying. You have things bubble up in here. Now, those of you who are interested in, you know, God using you and the gifts of the Spirit, I can tell you this. You learn to pray like this, and that's, and from that will come all the gifts of the Spirit. Nate, would you hand me that microphone? I know we're about to shut her down here. Nate, come up here. We used to pray with Nate. When Nate first came, did you know, turn around, I'll ask you a question. So, now, when you first came to Good News Church, had you flown in the gifts of the Spirit very much?
No.
Okay. And so we used to have prayer on Tuesdays or on Fridays. You remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And what happened as a result of you? We had such funny times. I'm sorry. Why don't you just share a little about how that grew in your life?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a... it was a growth process of learning how to pray. And, you know, I'd go, and I've shared this before, I'd go into prayer on Tuesday and I'd fall asleep halfway through, you know. Sure. You pray, it's good. I mean, if you have trouble sleeping, then begin to pray. Sometimes you can just pray yourself to sleep, you know.
And sometimes you need to. I mean, yes. Not at Tuesday prayer, but sometimes
right.
you need
not
to.
Not when you're supposed to be working. You know, don't pray in your office and fall asleep. But, you know, I didn't know how to pray. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how to pray in English, pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, pray in English, and back and forth and that kind of thing. But before long, I found myself learning to do that. And then they asked me to lead prayer, and that was disturbing. and shocking, and I think Tanya was in there, and I'm like, why am I leading and Tanya's not leading? She could pray circles around me, and I've heard her do it, and here I am in front of people, and it was something else that was just drawn out of me, and I realized, hey, I can do this. And before long, I'm operating in prophecy and, you know, tongues and interpreting what I'm praying, and
yep.
realizing that's exactly what's happening. But I didn't know how to do any of that before I spent more time in prayer.
Yep.
And so, I mean, and these opportunities that we're offering are great opportunities for you to learn that, to come and just get in an environment where that's taking place. And maybe you'll fall asleep 15 minutes in, but keep coming and you'll stay awake longer and you'll learn more and you'll do more and God will inspire you and he'll help you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because the Holy Spirit's a helper.
He's the helper.
That's right. Okay.
Nate got it. Amen. Thanks, Nate. But do you see what I'm saying? It's like something you learn to do. There's no, you know, none of us have arrived, and every one of us are capable of it. It's something that you learn to do. But I'm going to tell you, once you start to get a taste of it, and you get a taste of it, you're like, yeah, I want some more of that. And you just start seeing God flow in your life and flow through you. And so then once you begin to pray in other tongues and you start interpreting, like Nate was saying, you can even, because that's where tongues and interpretation, the gifts of the Spirit, tongues and interpretation of tongues, it starts in prayer. First, you know, the first interpretations you'll make are interpreting what you just prayed. Or prophecy, which is just an inspired utterance. Probably the first prophecy you'll have is just as you pray. It'll be inspired by God. And then it's kind of just an easy step. Then from that to saying it to a person or giving it publicly. The first time you prophesy is not going to be, you're going to walk up here and take the mic and prophesy to us. It's not going to happen. For a number of reasons, it's not going to happen. But not the least of which is that's just not how that begins to flow in your life. All the gifts of the Spirit, that's how they come. And then, you know, working in miracles and all those things. Oftentimes with working in miracles, you see yourself doing something. And then you just do it. And a lot of times, where do you see yourself doing it? While you're praying. Because not only do words come up, but you'll just begin. I'm not talking about you'll think up something. I mean, from within you, you'll start seeing things. There'll be, I mean, technically, they're visions. technically there, you know, it's there's all kind of things that will happen. But I'm just talking about, you know, where you can go in prayer. It's great. It's just, we're talking about the things of the Spirit now. Because, you know, we are a church that preaches the Word, but I'm going to tell you, we are a Spirit-filled church. We're a church of the Spirit. We're not, you know, we don't make any apology for that. And we wouldn't be who we are if this wasn't part of what we do, our practice. And I'm going to tell you this, you need this so much. You need it. You have no idea how much you need what I'm talking about tonight. Your life would be so different and so much better if you knew how to really pray in the Spirit and pray with the understanding and pray like I'm talking about. Your life would be so different. You'd have so many answers to questions and your kids would be a heck of a lot better. I'm telling you, things would be a lot better with you. A lot of the problems you have are problems that would be taken care of if you would just pray. You would just pray. And the kind of prayer that really you need to do, you don't know how to do it a lot of times. And you got to grow into it. Just like Nate said, Nate, there's things Nate can do today and knows to do. But he couldn't have done that 10 years ago because he didn't know how, but he knows how now. It's a process of growing, and you don't want to wait till you're in this terrible crisis and then you're like, now I need to learn how to pray like they were talking about. No, you need to learn how to pray now. And you need to do it. You do. We can help you. The best way I can help you is the same way I help Nate. I had prayer. We had prayer. I'd run prayer most of the time. Nate would come, and I would pray. And Tanya would pray, and Matt would pray, and whoever else could make it, we would pray. And Nate would sit there, and he would pray what he could pray, and then he'd fall asleep. And then he probably a lot of times he sat there and just listened to us pray. Because I'm telling you, it's probably entertaining at different times. Some of us are kind of entertaining when we pray, Cynthia. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's how I learned to pray, because isn't that how you learned when you learned to use the English language? Wasn't it because you were listening to other people? Well, that's how you learn to pray, listening to other people. Some people are like, I don't like it when people get loud. Well, one reason we need to be loud so you can hear us, so you can learn to pray. I always think it's funny when we expect people to speak in tongues and they've never even heard tongues. And I'm not saying that they can't, but it does help if you actually have some idea what you're looking for here. You know, what is it supposed to sound like? You know what I'm saying? You never even heard. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Go for it. Praise God. Well, we better stand up. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege of prayer. Thank you so much for the help, for the Word, for the Holy Spirit, for others that will join together with us, for opportunities to pray. Hallelujah. For the examples we see in Paul's writings of prayer. My goodness, how you've helped us. My goodness. And Father, I pray for all of us that we would understand, have a clear and deep understanding of how to pray. That we'd come to the knowledge of your will in prayer. Thank you for that. Hallelujah. Didn't even get to the end of this. Thank you, though, for that. Hallelujah. 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 And I pray for all of us, Father, and all the people of Good News Church, that we'd have the boldness to take hold of what Jesus has done for us and the privilege of prayer, that we'd have the boldness to just say, hey, I'm going to do that. I'm going to get in there and pray. I'm going to pray always with all prayer. I'm going to be one of those people that actually knows. I'm going to be a man that prays. Think of that. I'm going to be a man who prays. My goodness. Hallelujah. We thank you tonight. Praise you tonight. Give you glory and honor. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank the Lord for prayer. Thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit. Who leads us and guides us. Hallelujah. And enables us and empowers us as we pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. That you've given us your name when we pray. Hallelujah. Woo. Thank you, thank you, thank you, and thank you for the results of prayer, the benefits of prayer, the peace that comes when we pray, the joy, hallelujah, the burdens that are removed as we pray, hallelujah. Thank you for changing us and transforming us as we pray, as we spend time in your presence. My goodness, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for it, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God. See you.